Some of you may know this prayer. Maybe you can say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, and grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy His consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Relationships. They come in all shapes and sizes. Just like Max Lucado, as he's putting this book here, those that have had this, talking with Titus and with Timothy, we have some people that are easy to love and some that we tolerate, right? Is that what it is? Paul was encouraging Timothy. A lot of these letters, you know, Paul or Timothy was actually only about 30 years old. And a lot of times back in those days, people wouldn't listen to anybody that was too young. He had to be of more stature, you know, or be a pastor or a fair. Well, we won't even get into that. But he's trying to teach and console Timothy on how to deal with older people, younger people, and people in need. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it starts out with, he tells you that don't speak angrily to an older man. Treat him like your father. And an older woman, treat them as if they were your mother. And younger women as your sisters. He's teaching us how to deal with everybody that we come in contact with. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. And if the widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is a pleasure to God. See, not only is he teaching us how to deal with people, he's also teaching us with people that want to make a Christian stumble. So he goes on and talks about widows and talking about a younger widows. No widow should be put on a list of widows unless she is over 60 and has been faithful to her husband, is well known for her good deeds and as bringing up children and showing hospitality and washing the feet of the saints and helping those in trouble and devoting themselves to all kinds of good deeds. For a younger widow, do not put them on this list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. And it goes on to tell what everybody needs to do. You know, watch yourself. If any woman is a believer and has widows in her family, should help them in the church be burdened, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders also direct that affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those work as preaching and teaching, for the Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox when he is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against anyone unless it is brought on by two or three witnesses. He's telling us how to protect ourselves. He's telling us how to work a relationship. He's given us every opportunity to know what it is that we need to do. This book has a wonderful illustration of how sometimes we deal with family members. Or how we... that's not really a good word. Anyway. I keep meeting people who can't deal with somebody in their family. Either their mother-in-law is a witch, or their uncle is a bum, or you have a father who treats you like you've never been born. So he gives a good illustration in here, how to deal with it, how we had those type of. Ever heard of Tar Baby and Brer Rabbit? The Wily Fox played a trick on Brer Rabbit. The fox made a doll out of tar and stuck it on the side of the road. And when the rabbit saw the Tar Baby, he thought it was a person and he stopped to visit. It was a one-sided conversation. The Tar Baby's silence bothered the rabbit, so he couldn't stand it anymore and not be able to communicate with anybody. So with frustration, he hit the Tar Baby and he stuck to it. And of course, then what did he do? He took his other hand, hit the Tar Baby, and guess what? His hand stuck to it. That's how we are with difficult relatives. We're stuck to someone we can't communicate with. Are you stuck to somebody that you can't communicate with? Why does life get so relatively difficult? If we expect anybody to be sensitive to our regards or anything like this or anything that's happening to us, we expect our family. If we're hurting physically, we expect our family to step up. If we're hurting spiritually, we pray that our family and friends will be there for us. But sometimes they act like they don't even hear you. Or they're too busy and they want to do something else. Well, I can tell you, if your family can't supply you with the love that you need, I can guarantee you that your Heavenly Father will do just that. How do you know that He'll do that? By spiritually accepting God as your Father. You see, there's one thing to accept God as your Lord. There's one thing to recognize Him as your Savior. But it's an entirely different matter to accepting Him as your Father. This is one of my favorite little books, Praying God's Promises. And here it says, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us with a Father's heart. The Bible says, Your Father knoweth what things you are in need of before you ask Him. This statement of faith is part of Jesus' wonderful Sermon on the Mount. And it precedes His model prayer, which begins, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There is one God, and He is our Father. That's a tremendous thought in and of itself. The Bible says there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and for Him, one Lord Jesus Christ, through Him all things, through Him which we live. From 1 Corinthians. Our God, our Father, our one Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him we are able to get to know God. God, our Father. Some of the things that we can do. Prayer, Bible study, worship. All these are primary activities that allow the Christian to disciple themselves to live in a continual relationship with God. And some of the true marks of this type of relationship is, one, it's relational. Christianity is not about keeping rules or jumping through religious hoops. Being a Christian means knowing Jesus personally. And it's total. We don't negotiate with Jesus when it comes to His leadership. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our souls, all the details of our life, our relationships, our work, our dreams, our ambitions are in Him. And then it has to be intentional. The Christian life begins with a choice. What's that choice? Receiving Jesus. and continues with a lifelong series of choices to make Him Lord by applying His commandments in every area of life. It's mutual. The Holy Spirit is one who enables us to become like Jesus, but we must be actively going forward with Him day by day, challenge by challenge, joy by joy. And it's attainable. You never know who God is going to put into your life. Whether it's somebody sitting in this room or even a family member. You know, we have so many different people. If you're like me, my family's spread out all over the place. You know, I've got a brother and sister-in-law live out in Phoenix. Got quite a few relatives up in Chicago, Cleveland. You know, there might even be some relatives that you may not have to get to see very often. But there might be just that one person that God put in your life. Every once in a while, you're able to have a conversation with Him. It's one of the things that Karen and I struggled this past week. She had a cousin. He's 39 years old and was never brought up in the church. And there would be different times that he would call me and I'd talk with him for a while. And, you know, just always able to minister him somehow or another. But unfortunately, alcohol got to him. And he may have not seen those signs early. He had problems with his back. I really believe that he had colon cancer. But week before last, we got a call and that he was jaundiced. And they put him in the hospital. His liver was shot. His kidneys were only 20%. Had spots on his colon, spots on his lungs. And that in itself was a worry. The thing was, we didn't really know where his heart was. So many times we talked with Michael. But his parents were, oh, I don't want to say atheist, that's kind of a strong thing, but neither one had a heart for the Lord. We never had the opportunity. You know, and I sit here and I say, never had an opportunity to talk to him about Christ. And we shouldn't have let or worried about what the mother or the father might have thought if we took that time to sneak in and take them away from Michael in these last days. And being an in-law, so to speak, because I'm not a blood relative, I thought, well, I'll let my wife and her sisters and her brother have that opportunity to talk with him, and they never did. And before I left Monday, I just got down into his face, and I grabbed his head. I said, Michael, you know Jesus loves you. If you allow him into your heart, he'll take this pain away from you. And he squeezed my hand, and then he went back to sleep. Relationships. We never know where we're going to be at. We never know who we're going to meet. We never know who we need to be there to tell them the love of God through Jesus Christ. One of the neatest things that we have in this community to help teach those types of relationships is the Great Banquet. How many have been through a great banquet, walked to Emmaus, or Tres Dias, or Brother in the Way of Christ? It is one of the most powerful things of showing you how to deal with relationship, not only with your wife, your kids, your family, but most importantly, with God. There is nothing, nothing more powerful than to put you with somebody that you've never met before. Be with them at a table setting just like this, and by the end of the weekend, you are brothers in Christ. Nothing more powerful. And he can only do it once. Do it one time. You think, oh, just doing a weekend retreat one time, how can that be powerful? How can it be powerful, guys? Yeah, because you learn how to give your heart to Christ and place God as your Father. There's different things that can sustain that. And they teach you that in a banquet. But, you know, there's prayer. That's the first and foremost means of sustaining a relationship. You have Scripture, worship, communion. We remember Christ's sacrificial death on the cross, and his sharing of his body and his blood in the Lord's Supper. And spiritual direction. This is important. Spiritual direction. Whether you talk to somebody, one person that you know is spiritually grounded, or to get involved into some type of small group or a Bible study like this. It helps us to further our relationship with God. I'm a story kind of person, and I think I've got some time. This is about reap what you sow. Good morning, said a woman as he walked up to this man sitting on the ground, and the man looked up. This was a woman clearly accustomed to the finer things of life. Her coat was new. She looked like she never missed a meal in her life. His first thought was that she wanted to make fun of him. And like so many others had done before, leave me alone, the man growled. And she was smiling. Even her white teeth displayed in dazzling rows. Are you hungry? She asked. No, he answered sarcastically. I just came from having lunch with the president. Now go away. The woman smiled even broader. Suddenly the man felt a gentle hand under his arm. What are you doing, lady? Just leave me alone. And then a policeman came up. Is there a problem here, ma'am? No problem here, officer, the woman answered. I'm just trying to get this man on his feet. Will you help me? The officer scratched his head and said, this is old Jack. He's been a fixture around here for a couple of years. What do you want with him? See that cafeteria over there? I want to get him over there to get him something to eat and get him out of the cold for a while. Are you crazy, lady? The homeless man resisted. I don't want to go in there. And then he felt the strong hands of the officer grab his other arm and lift him and says, let me go, officer, I didn't do anything. This is a good deal for you, Jack, the officer answered. Don't blow it. Finally, with some difficulty, the woman and the police officer got Jack into the cafeteria and set him on a table in a remote corner. Since it's in the middle of the morning, most of the breakfast crowd was gone, and it was too early for the lunch bunch. The manager strode across the cafeteria, stood by the table, and said, what's going on here, officer? Is this man in trouble? He said, no, this lady has brought him here to be fed. Not in here, he said angrily. Having a person like that inside here is going to be bad for my business. And old Jack just kind of smiled a toothless grin and said, see, lady, I told you so. They don't want me in here. The woman turned to the manager and said, sir, are you familiar with Edie and Associates, the banking firm down the street? I said, of course I am, the manager said. They hold their weekly meetings in one of my banquet rooms every week. And she said, do you make a good amount of money providing food for this meeting? He says, what business is that of yours, lady? He said, well, I'm Penelope Eddy. I'm the president and CEO of that company. He goes, oh, okay. The woman smiled again and said, I thought that would make a difference. And she glanced at the cop who was busy with a giggle and says, would you like to join us for a cup of coffee and lunch? And the officer said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm on duty, but perhaps a cup of coffee to go would be great. The cafe manager turned on his heels, and I'll get your coffee right away, officer. And the officer walked, watched him walk away and said, you surely put him in your place, in his place, didn't you? And she said, that was not my intent. Believe it or not, I have a reason for all this. She sat down across from Jack and said, do you remember me? He looked at her face for a while and looked, says, well, you look familiar. She said, maybe you do. And she said, I'm a little older, perhaps. Maybe I've filled out a little bit more than my younger days. But I came here through that very door, cold, hungry, and cold. Ma'am, the officer asked questioningly, I can't believe that such a magnificently turned out woman could have ever been hungry. And then she said, I was just out of college. I came to the city looking for a job. Couldn't find anything. Was finally down to my last few cents. Lost my apartment. I was walking the street for days. And I saw this place and walked in on the off chance so I could get something to eat. Jack lit up with a smile. Now I remember. I was behind the counter that day. You asked me if I could work for some food, and I said that was against company policy. I know, the woman said. And you made me the biggest roast beef sandwich I'd ever seen and gave me a cup of coffee and told me to go over to the corner table and sit down and enjoy it. And I was afraid that you were going to get in trouble. Then I looked over and I saw that you put the price of the food in the cash register. And then I knew everything would be all right. So you started your own business, old Jack said. He said, yes, as a matter of fact, the day after I was in here, I got a job. I started in that and eventually started my own business. When you're finished here, I want you to stop by and visit Mr. Lyons. He's my personnel director of my company. I'll go and talk to him now, but I'll make sure that he finds something for you to do and possibly find the funds to give you a little advance so you can buy clothes and get a place until you can get on your feet. There were tears in the old man's eyes. How can I ever thank you? He said. Don't thank me, the woman answered. To God give the glory. Thank Jesus. He led me here to you. Outside the cafeteria, the officer and the woman paused at the entrance before going their separate ways. He said, thank you. Thank you for your help, officer, she said. On the contrary, Miss Eddie, he answered, thank you. I saw a miracle today, something that I will never forget. And thank you for the coffee. Have a wonderful day, and may God bless you always. And don't forget that when you cast your bread upon the waters, you never know how it's going to return to you. God is so big, He can cover the whole world with His love, and He can curl up inside your heart. When God leads you to an edge of the cliff, He can do two things. He can catch you, or He can teach you how to fly. God is going to shift things around for you today and let things work in your favor. God closes doors no man can open. God opens doors no man can close. And if you need God to open some doors for you, well, you know what you can do, don't you? Relationships. Relationships with your family. Relationship with your friends. A lot of times it can cause a little chaos, right? We've been studying Exodus with a small group. I've got to share this real quick. And he's telling how Moses and Aaron was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Okay? And you know the story. The first thing he did was that, he laid his staff down and turned into a snake. And Pharaoh's magician said, well, I can do that too. So they lay their staffs down. There's a bunch of them. But then what happens? Aaron's snake eats them all up. But Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. And then he turned water into blood. Pharaoh's magicians did the very exact same thing. But all this time, can you imagine what's going on in the hearts of the Israelites? In the Egyptians? What kind of chaos is it causing in their lives? Next thing he did was he brought up the frogs. The magician said, well, we can do that. Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. Now, this is a few weeks have gone by. Did it cause any chaos in your family life? Then what's the next thing? Next thing, he's turned all the dust into gnats. That was the last one that the Pharaoh's magicians could duplicate, wasn't it? God created the universe with his hands. And you know what the magician said at that time? He said it was a little finger of God. That was a finger of God that was doing that. Finger of God. You want to be a part of something really big? Really, really big? I suggest two things. Defeat evil in his name. And then, just once say no. Just once say no to chaos. Just once. Stand strong. Just once. And then, bring a little shalom. Bring a little order into somebody else's life. Take away some of the chaos. Take away someone else's chaos. Restore alienated people to him, reclaiming his word, and defeating chaos in the process. Relationships. Finger of God. Kingdom is with you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for so many different things. Thank you, Father, for the relationships that you give us. Not only the relationships with our wives and our children, and our family, but Father, also those relationships on how you put people in each other's life. Father, I thank you for all that you do. I just praise you and bless you and just pray that you be with everyone here as we go from this place. For it's in your Son's most gracious name we ask all things. Amen.